Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the two creators of a new half-hour workplace sitcom called The Jams. Gentlemen, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris Petlak.
I am Jim Cozera.
You guys sounds like you've practiced saying those names.
Only that part. That's the only part we've practiced.
We've rehearsed that a little bit. In the car.
Still have to write the entire show, but you got the names.
Correct.
Exactly.
Awesome. I guess before we get started, tell our listeners what The Jams is about.
Yeah, great. So The Jams, at its core, is about a radio station. It is about two overnight DJs who are jockeying to get into the morning show slot. In the pilot, the DJ who has had the morning show for the last 18 years, he's the number one host of the number one show in Chicago, announces he's retiring. And so our heroes quickly try and find their way into the morning slot despite their own incompetence and general buffoonery.
Who are the heroes you speak of?
Oh, well, that would be Jim Cozera.
and Chris Petlak. Nice. So we play the characters JJ. I play JJ, and Jim plays Fitzy, and they are the overnight hosts at 101.7 The Jams in Chicago.
A fictional number one station in Chicago.
Okay. Yes.
So this is the number one real radio station in D.C. talking to the fictional radio station in Chicago.
So we're
How
best
meta
friends now.
Is that?
By the end, maybe we'll switch places. Maybe we'll become fictional and you guys will actually become real.
Whoa. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You
know, like Inception, but
just,
radio.
That just blew all of our minds.
That's fantastic.
All right, cool. Well, I guess before we go dive even further into that, tell me how you guys even went about creating this. Like, what's each of your backgrounds? You know, did you guys, you know, go to film school or, you know, how did you even get into writing a web series in the first place?
Yeah, I went to Illinois State here in the great state of Illinois, and or there in the great state of Illinois, depending on where we all are right now. I went to Illinois State University, studied acting and writing there, and then came back to Chicago after school, after graduating. And then that's when Jim and I met, and he was out of school, and you went to school.
I went to school at to Dominican University. It's a little Catholic school, so
nice.
I learned how to love Jesus.
Nice.
And also how to write. And
or at least to act like it.
Or to act, yes, correct. So Chris and I met doing an improv show.
Yes.
We wanted to figure out a way to do a web series together because we had a really good chemistry on stage. Chris works at the radio station in Chicago.
Indeed.
So we were like, well, this could be a cool setting for a web series. So we sat down and filmed 20 little 3-minute shorts that were Chris and I in a booth, and the idea being what if two idiots had a microphone from midnight to four and just sort of ran with it from there.
So how do you, well, first of all, there's a couple things I want to unpack there, but first, what was the, where were you guys doing the improv that you met?
So we were we were doing an improv parody of Twilight at a theater in the suburbs of Chicago called the Metropolis Performing Arts Center.
I was the vampire.
And I was Jacob the werewolf.
Was the audience on Team Jim and Team Chris?
There were...
Most of the audience was on Team... Why are you making fun of the show?
Right, because... So this show happened at the peak hotness of the Twilight series. So we're doing this in the suburbs of Chicago, and the audience, night after night, is 15-year-old
girls.
Thinking that this is going to be a show about Twilight and not recognizing that it was going to be a show that was just going to destroy Twilight.
Like, within the first 5 seconds,
yes.
I come out in a ridiculous wig and Chris comes out shirtless and it goes,
yes.
Oh.
The second I took
sad.
My shirt off, the audience was quick. Because I would say that my body type is melted candle, is what I would describe it as. And
I would second that.
Yeah. And
so. You're the Wicker Man.
You said yes, indeed. And so it sort of, I think, crushed some dreams. But we had a blast doing it.
Oh, we railroaded that show.
It was phenomenal.
To a point where we would get notes constantly. And this is kind of where this web series, where the need to do more started. It was like, there would be 5-minute scenes where the goal was, you know, we have to tell the audience that character A needs to do this. And Chris and I would just start riffing about whatever stupid thing for like 14 minutes.
Right. And so we always joke about this in the movie Step Brothers, where they realize, did we just become best friends?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what happened. And
that's
so we had this desire to do more. And I was working at a radio station in Chicago.
What was the station?
It's WTMX in Chicago.
The Mix.
101.9. And so in that, we were talking a lot about what we wanted to do and where we could film and what we could do. And then we were talking a lot about just, you know, like friends talk about your day-to-day. And we kind of recognized that there's a lot of very great characters that can come out of a radio station, mm-hmm. not necessarily the one that I in real life work at, but just the idea of the types of people you run into in a radio station, whether it's guests that come through or the different types. Like, you know, you have to be a particular type of person to work overnights, I think, you know, in the real world. Yeah. So those characters sort of came out of our desire in general, though, to do something new, creative, and fun.
And there's a piece to them that we can relate to as well, is that they're two guys who wish they were farther along in their chosen field than they are. You know, every actor wants to do a web series about a struggling actor, where it's their actor in their apartment and going to their crappy job and getting dumped by their crappy girlfriend or boyfriend, and it's the same thing. And
it's a crappy series.
It's a crappy series.
Right.
And ours is basically, it's like, let's take all of these feelings and just put them in a better room.
Right.
And by doing that, and you really sort of, I mean, it, you know, write what you know, but you don't have to write where you know. You can take characters. Everybody wants something. Everybody wishes they had a better job, or wishes they had the girl of their dreams, or wishes that they, you know, were doing better than they are. But, you know, with five rewrites of taking this apartment and turning it into a radio booth, we ended up not only making it original, but also placing it in a soundproof room, which helped our sound and audio.
Oh my gosh, yeah. For indie to do sound, that for us, you know, as independent, the sound was great.
Now, how did you, you said you shot, what'd you say, like 23-minute shorts at first? How did you, mm-hmm. how'd you go from that to what it is now, which is 4 half-hour episodes? Like, how did you get it picked up?
The New York Television Festival.
Yes, it's a wonderful festival. So they have a number of different things, but a part of it is a pilot pitch competition. So what happened was we took five or six of the shorts and strung them together and submitted them to the New York Television Festival as a pilot.
And by the way, what were those shot on? What camera were you using for those?
Oh, yes.
Because I want to know, the rinky-dink, you know, the nuts and bolts of the first outing.
So the first outing was the Canon 5D Mark II, the camera that launched 1,000
web series, 1,000
filmmakers,
1,000 wedding photographers.
The lighting rig was a pair of Menards work lights aimed at the ceiling.
Which was white, which helped.
A white ceiling. We used the microphones that were in the booth, plugged them into a Zoom H1 H1 or H4, I forget, but the Zoom hand recorder.
Okay.
And that's it. That's the whole thing. So what was great about it was literally when the show is two guys in a chair that don't really move, the ceiling is reflective, so you have naturally diffused light, mm-hmm. and then we're filming on what is meant to be a photography camera, so you get that great depth of field and very sharp picture. It looks incredibly professional.
Yeah.
With minimal effort.
I think the two biggest things that stand out sometimes in independent film are people that are starting to do things on their own are sound and lighting. Those are the mm-hmm. two hardest things sometimes to tackle.
Yeah.
Because they're the things people ignore most often.
Right. And you could have the greatest camera in the world, but if the room's lit poorly and I can't hear you, then suddenly no one's paying attention.
Right. Exactly. All right. So cool. All right. So very minimalistic, as for sure, as was needed at the time. And then tell me now about the festival. So you take this sucker to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as a part of the festival there that year, 2014, there was the Orchard Go project was offering a development deal through the Orchard and the New York Television Festival, who was going to be starting a production arm. So it was going to be the New York Television Festival Productions.
Right. So NYTVF and the Orchard partnered up. They were giving away what was then a 6-episode deal. We met and pitched with people in New York, and it was one of those meetings where I am not good at reading, didn't realize that the Orchard was doing this until after the meeting. And so, you know, these pitch meetings were sort of coming, you'd get check your email and say you've got two today or two tomorrow, and this was like the last one, and it was the most comfortable, cool, and the guys we met with were super chill, super into it. So it's like, you know, I'm pitching this to the Orchard, and you know, it wasn't until after the fact, and I talked to Chris, and he was like, "There, that's the big one. That's the big thing." And I was like, "Oh, I hope I did good."
Well, we'll see what comes
of it.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a blessing in disguise because you didn't freak yourself out, you know, and get too nervous.
Right. And you know, we've often said that like one of our strengths was because the format that we pitched, we took 3-minute shorts, and showed them that. As opposed to saying, let's film our own 22-minute pilot and show them what it would look like. The advantage to that was while we're talking to these guys, really everybody, while we're pitching everybody, it becomes much more of a dialogue as opposed to, this is what I liked and this is what I didn't like. The conversation was more, what if you did this? Or what if you did that? Right. Or it could be cool if this happened. And the answer was always like, yeah, for sure.
Oh, you're a brilliant genius. Yeah,
definitely.
Why didn't I think of that?
To everyone, for sure we're going to have dragons. Dragons are huge.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, we'll do a guy who does the traffic and weather, and he'll be a dragon.
One will be a candle melting guy
sure.
from Twilight.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so once you guys make this pitch, you succeed, you know, you impress the Orchard without even knowing the Orchard's there. So then what do you do? Then the two of you have to sit down and pen 4 episodes here?
Yeah, so then we worked with the New York Television Festival to build out the series. So as we mentioned earlier, the original web series was just the two of us. So now we have to introduce a morning show host, a traffic and weather gal, as she is referred to from time to time.
In the web series, we alluded to the fact that we had a boss who was always riding our ass, and
right.
we had a weather girl who, you know, one of us is madly in love with, but we'd never actually seen these people or really developed them past their, you know, 2-cent descriptions.
Right. So from the end of 2014 through the spring of 2015, really, we wrote the 4 episodes, and then the New York Television Festival highlighted a few alums from the festival as well. So cool. Joe Scott and Jeff Murdoch penned the 3rd episode, which was great, and they are great writers, so we were really excited about that. And then they brought on Ted Tremper as a director, and so then we were able to develop these 4 episodes and really build out the world really delicately and intricately.
Mm-hmm.
Working with them, which was fantastic.
And really, the festival, when I, again, cynical and I don't read, but when I first heard that the NYTVF was launching a production arm, I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, whatever. They're gonna put their stamp on it, and then we'll never see from them again. And I could not have been more wrong.
And
I
mean, thankfully.
Thankfully, because this would have crashed and burned a long time ago if we were in charge of the things that we were in charge of.
Right.
But Terrence Gray and Ian Thicke were the two who really, I mean, helped us develop the story, helped us develop the worlds, helped us, you know, gave us notes on our first drafts, told us things that they thought would play, told us things that they thought wouldn't play, really engaged us in conversations. And then they were the ones that were like, great, we are going to talk about who we're going to, like, we are going to hire the production crew. We are going to get you guys set up. And they were, from the word go, adamant that the thing would film in Chicago, which I think was very important to both of us.
Yeah.
How long was the shoot?
It was 12 days?
12 days. So we shot
overnight.
Mostly overnight. Basically, we shot from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m.
We got, what are we talking, like 30-page scripts here?
Oh, yeah. They were 32.
About.
We were doing like...
That's an ambitious page count.
Oh, it was crazy. We were shooting a dozen pages,
more than
16.
I think our longest day was 16 or 17 pages. Our shortest day was 12.
Was 12.
Wow. And I mean, just in listeners who might be just, you know, driving to their job on Capitol Hill might not know it, but, you know, a lot of people, sometimes it's like 4 or 5 a day.
4 or 5.
And
that's a 16-hour day on a
networked,
on a legit set.
Well, right. So our crew was awesome.
Lots of coffee.
Oh man,
there was a lot of coffee.
And that's
Fruit
that's
snacks.
Where, you know, when we go back, there's a level of, you know, you have to surrender a little bit. When it's just us in the room, we have control of our costumes, we have control of everything.
Right.
You get to a point where it's day 9 and like people are just handing you clothes and like, you need to wear these and you need to go stand there, and it's like, okay,
my brain's off.
Can you put them on for me?
right.
On any given day, we would shoot 2 scenes from episode 1 and then a scene from episode 4, back to a scene from episode 3, 2 scenes from episode 2, and then back to episode 1. So you'd be flipping clothes on, and then
it's a miracle.
It turned out so great. And so throughout the process, you have to step back. Because, you know, we've written these and we are so familiar with the world, but now we have to step back and go, okay, wait, what is JJ thinking about right now? Okay, yeah, this right. just happened. Okay, cool. Here we go. You know, that sort of stuff. And the cast was phenomenal. And the New York Television Festival brought on, went out and got Kathy Najimy. And she plays our boss, which was crazy. And Kathy shot the most insane schedule because she graciously squeezed this in for us and came into Chicago for 6 days. And we forced her to shoot six overnight days.
Yeah, it was awesome. Kathy of Sister Act and Hocus Pocus fame, but I only very recently learned she was the voice of Peggy Hill in King of the Hill for some 309 million episodes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. And then,
who else we got in this sucker? Who else in the cast?
Yeah.
Dave Pasquese, who is one of the probably, no, is the best improviser
on planet Earth.
Correct. He's a regular on Veep. He plays Julia Louis-Dreyfus's ex-husband. Michael Patrick Thornton, who is a Chicago stage actor who was on Private Practice for a little while. He is a friend of mine who was very generous to say yes and play in our world. Tamberla Perry, wait for this one. Tamberla Perry of the Illinois Lottery fame. My mother... I'm explaining to my mom that Kathy and Jimmy's in this. I'm explaining to my mom who Dave Pasquese is, who Michael Patrick Thornton is. I'm explaining to my mom like that this is a big deal, and then casually drop Tamberla Perry. Tamberla Perry for 5 years would pull the lotto numbers midday on Channel 9, and my mom, who's a compulsive gambler and plays lotto, was like, oh my God, Tamberla Perry, how did you get Tamberla Perry? I'm like, I mean.
You should have said, hey, we just pulled her number, and that's how we got her.
Well, sign him up.
While we were filming, Jim had forwarded the cast a screenshot of a text conversation he'd had with his mom, and it was basically, how's filming going? How's Tamberla? Have you gotten any photos with her? Will there ever be a day that I can meet her?
We did a premiere in Chicago 4 nights ago, or longer than that. But we did a premiere in Chicago very recently, and after the premiere, I got one text from my mom, and it was a video.
Who was there? His mother was there.
And it was a video, of Tamberla's portion of the talkback. Not our, like, Chris and I did opening remarks. Terrence said some lovely things about us.
Yeah.
She just sent me a video of Tamberla saying, send this to Tamberla.
Like, what?
Thanks, Mom. Great work.
I'm all proud of you and awesome, but not really that much. But it's Tamberla.
She's also in amazing. She also has a very accomplished resume.
Oh, yeah. She's phenomenal.
Yeah. Okay.
She was just on Madam Secretary a couple of nights ago, which was nutty. I'm watching TV.
Emily Peterson, who was in Batman vs. Superman for a hot minute.
Yes, which we weren't allowed to say for the longest time because we didn't know. We just knew that she would say, I was in this big movie they were filming in Chicago. I can't tell you guys anything more than that. And Jim and I go, Batman. Who were you?
What'd you do?
She's like, I cannot tell you.
It was blank versus blank, but I can't say who.
Yeah, but I can't say who.
Right.
Tell us. I don't want to spoil any of the jokes, obviously, because I want everyone to watch this and laugh their butts off. But is there a way without spoiling any actual punchlines? Tell us some of the types of hijinks that we got going on in the office.
Oh yeah. Well, one of my favorites, which you see in episode.
I don't know what you're about to say.
Yeah, I'm looking at you like you know what I'm saying. Liam Neeson is supposed to call into the station. It's episode 3. He's supposed to call into the station, and Fitzy, Jim's character, accidentally hangs up on him, and then we have to fake an interview with Liam Neeson.
With a hello.
Live on the air.
Yeah. This is as close as we're going to get, and we're just going to have to force our way through it.
Got one more caller.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. Right. Exactly. And then, there's a lot. That, you know, the on-air stuff is very funny, but then the on-air stuff
is generally us falling off the rails.
Right.
It's JJ, it's Chris's character trying as hard as he can to keep the show on the rails, and Fitzy, my character,
trying to do as little as he can.
Literally, with the attention span of a flea, just taking the show off the rails. And what's ironic is, I think for the audience at home. That's probably some of the most enjoyable scenes for the audience in the fictional radio world. It's got to sound like hot nonsense.
But one of the best characters in the series is the intern, and he's played by Ramel Chan, and he doesn't say anything.
No lines.
So we wrote him to not say anything, but he's
the Harpo Marx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but he's absurdly hilarious.
Seven and eight times watching it through. we're picking, you know, because we're editing it, we're going through, so we've seen this show into the ground. On the seventh and eighth watching, we're seeing things that he's doing for the first time in the background, like in the deep background. We're like, what is Rommel doing? And then you're like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so the thing about the show, and even as Jim just said, you can watch these episodes so many times over and keep noticing new things, because all of the actors were just so, we were so excited about the project and so dedicated and focused on it, especially because we were doing overnights. Jim always refers to it as summer camp, because you couldn't pull your
time?
Phone out.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. When they'd call cut and they were resetting lights or resetting sound or something, you couldn't pull your phone out and text your wife or your
3:30
your buddies or whatever. We're all just right there. So yeah. as it should be, you just turn to your friends and go, hey, so what'd you think of that? Or, oh, okay, cool. You know, and we just had so much fun, and I think it really translated to screen really well.
That's what I was going to say. Do you think that being in that sort of locked in together summer camp feel almost helped recreate what it is for overnighters at a radio station? You know, do you think that kind of helped even put you guys in that mindset?
It did. But the funniest thing about that is that the only overnight scenes in the show were shot during the day, because the only days we shot at the actual radio station, we shot a weekend.
Saturday morning.
6 a.m. to 9 p.m. or something crazy. So
day for night, baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they were like blacking out windows for us and going through all this effort to block out the light when we're just laughing because the day before we were shooting and they're trying to light a room for sunlight, you know. Three in the morning.
Yeah, I think the energy, we are both optimistic and hopeful that we can get a second season of this show somewhere, that it'll find its home. And I think the level of excitement that this cast would bring into that, that would be truly like going back to summer camp. Like, oh my God, how are you?
When might you know? Because, I mean, obviously it's barely just been out yet. So I guess, first of all, tell us where we can watch it. We have iTunes and Netflix, but give us the dates.
Yes. Yeah, so iTunes, it's available now. So you can pull out your cell phone right now if you have an Apple phone and watch it. And then Netflix, April 30th. And it's also, I think, Amazon, PlayStation, Xbox, a lot of the digital streaming sites also on April 30th. So April 30th, it is wide, 80-some countries.
Yeah, we're going to be down under, which is crazy.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully this is huge in Australia. There we will already have the morning show because of the time difference.
Nice.
So it's wild. So April 30th is the big, big, big release, but you can get it on iTunes right now, yeah.
How far down the road might we know about a renewal of a second season?
I don't know.
Yeah, we really don't, because we just
if
don't
you're
know.
Listening and you have and a television network,
please write.
Please, let's get a letter writing campaign. Let's treat it like it's 1982.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you downloaded the show on your phone and loved it, write a letter and put a stamp on it and just send it to Hollywood. Just
write to Hollywood and
they'll figure it out.
Lick a stamp on there.
How did you get these distribution deals with iTunes and Netflix? Is this through the Orchard or the NYTVF or?
The NYTVF and The Orchard both together worked together on the release of the show, which was fantastic. And
they have friends that we don't have.
Correct.
Because our release strategy was we're going to put it on YouTube and then Facebook it to our friends back when we were doing our web series. There are some episodes of the show, our original web series, that had less than 100 views. We were not super great at marketing, but we were super great at pitching it at a festival that had people who were better than us at everything else.
What's interesting is now we had to take the original series off because of the release of all the new stuff. So hopefully one day one day on a season 5 DVD release we'll have the old episodes.
Awesome. Let's say our listeners have been listening to this and they seemed, I'm intrigued, I want to check this out, but they're still not sure, they're on the fence. What's something that they might be able to relate it to? Is it like an It's Always Sunny humor? Is it like The Office? Or is it a blank meets blank? Or I know it's its own thing, but give them an idea.
Yeah. I would say it's got an Office vibe as far as it's
Office-y, Parks-y, Rec-y.
Parks-y, like a dysfunctional. Yeah. It's got a I would say it gives the, this is a weird one. I would say it gives The West Wing a run for its money as far as words per page.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
I think
Sorkin dialogue.
Sorkin speed. I mean, it's Rain pace, baby. It is fast. I think we do about 34, 35 pages in about 23, 24 minutes, and the standard is about a minute per page.
Yeah.
So we are flying.
Well, now we know how you fit so many page counts into your shooting.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Just talk faster.
Talk really fast.
And never go back and pick up a second take. Just keep going. Just keep going.
Go, 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 go.
Cool. Well, I mean, is there anything else we left out? What's the final sell on them on why they should watch this?
It's hilarious. I think that you'll really connect with the characters. You see a lot of really fun. You know, it's a TV show that takes place in a radio station, but the elements and the ideas behind it all are relative to everybody's life. You see the same thing. It's two people who really feel and believe that they deserve more, and they can do better, and they can do more, and they just need someone to look at them and say, oh yeah, those guys are all right. Okay.
All right, now my pitch. What else are you doing? What are you doing? There's four episodes. They're 25 minutes each. It's 100 minutes. It's like an indie film budget. So what are you doing for 100 minutes? What else are you going to watch? What are you going to watch on TV? Everything's a rerun. We're coming up in the summer. Things are going to go on reruns. It's going to be a lot of reality shows. Stop it. You don't need it. Come on. Please. So it's both bullying and then begging for viewers.
Right.
Nice work on the good cop, bad cop right there. That was pretty good.
That's it.
Yeah. That's how we roll.
Awesome. Jim, Chris, thanks. This was a blast. I can't wait to check out the whole thing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.